Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Football Fill-In. It is Bank Holiday Monday, but as usual, we are working hard to bring you content, 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 baby. It's been another world-class weekend of Premier League action. Some, let's say, debatable referee decisions. Somehow, Liverpool managed to win that game against Newcastle. What a game, by the way. And shout out to the goalkeeper. Some unbelievable performances this weekend. It's a Football Fill-In. All right then, boys, thanks for joining me. Lovely to see you all on Bank Holiday Monday. Everybody, I'm sure, appreciates it at home. Mark, I'm going to come to you first, mate. The Liverpool-Newcastle game. What a game, first and foremost. Before we start talking about the result and how the game went, did the referee get it wrong with not sending Trent Alexander-Arnold off?
No, I thought the referee was bad. I thought he was bad, and I think he was a little bit like, you know, look, you know, every decision he made, he looked out. I don't think he had a bloody clue what he was doing. But I thought the yellow card that Trent got, first of all, was ridiculous.
Soft.
He's been fouled and we're trying to turn players into robots. There's nothing wrong with reacting to being thrown 5 metres off the pitch by kicking a ball or something like that. It's just human behaviour. And it would have been ridiculous to then send him off. I think Eddie Howe's right. I think it probably is a yellow card, the second one, where he knocks him to the floor. But it would have been ridiculously hard to send him off because he shouldn't. It's one of them stupid yellow cards that we're seeing at the moment. And Arna got one for United. There's two balls on the pitch and he gets booked for time wasting. We saw the Tomiyasu yellow card. So, no, I think it was right. I thought the foul on Gordon was a yellow, but I thought it would have been really harsh because of the first yellow being soft.
Surely, though, right? What? When? So, that first, I agree with you, by the way. The first one should never have been a yellow card. It was a disgrace of a decision, right? But once you get to that point, the second one's a foul, isn't it? And it's a yellow card.
I think the referee's put himself under massive pressure by not seeing the context of the fact that he's had a shove.
And it's so early in the game as well.
So early in the game. And he's not really made a meal of throwing the ball away and all this kind of stuff. But he's reacted, no feel for the game, straight yellow card. And then ultimately, Eddie Howe is right because the second then has to be a yellow card.
Yeah.
So that's the problem the referee has. But if the referee just with a bit more feel and know the situations, then the second one can be a yellow card and the game's not affected.
Yeah.
But the stupidity of the early card and not sensing that players are human, you know, you've been shoved across the field and you're down and you... Look, he's had a reaction.
Do you know what the referee should have done, right? The second that little sort of like nudge from Gordon on Alexander and he's on the floor and then he took... The referee should have just got them both together and gone, boys... Relax, yeah? Calm down. I understand it's Sunday, it's the 4:30 kickoff, it's on telly, everybody's watching, yeah, we get it. But just calm yourself down.
To referee like that, they're probably not told to referee like that, but have some human feeling.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
And actually just get the guys together, because players like that, they want to be able to talk to the referee.
Without doubt.
Rather than thinking he's going to flash a card if I do this, that, and the other. Get the situation calmed down, and the game then would have been easier for him to referee for the whole of the match.
I wonder what the point is. I mean, I understand they're trying to make the time added on less. I couldn't believe he only added on 5 minutes yesterday as well, because I'm so used to it being 12. But I don't understand all these yellow cards, because you're right, it's like those sort of games, you want a referee to manage the occasion and go, I don't want to get my yellow cards out till about 20 minutes. I want it to get a little bit tense. I want to see a bit of pushing and shoving, because that's what it's an entertainment business, isn't it? The fans feed off that. You like it when it's tasty.
What do you make of the red card, Van Dijk red card? Because Jamie Carragher at half time at the end of the game, fully backing him, saying it's not a red card.
I think that I said this after the United game. I think we are really unlucky in this country. I mean, I'm surrounded by people who know what they're talking about, but there's people, the punditry is poor. The money that's being spent on people like that who are going to work and infecting the nation with their bias. Keown sat there going about the Rashford thing, and then you got Carragher. It's not a penalty. It's not a red card. It's like the referee would frustrate me because he's guessed. You can't see that. So he has guessed, and VAR is always going to stick with him. But when you watch it, and I had to watch it 4 or 5 times, he's right.
Like, it's a penalty.
He catches the player before he gets the man. It's unlucky because it's like fine margins. Yeah. But ultimately, is it a foul? Yes. Would he have been through? Yes. Technically, that's a red card.
It's simple, isn't it, Watto?
Yeah.
He knows he's been done there, doesn't he, Van Dijk? He knows he's been done and he knows he's about to go through one-on-one.
That's the problem he has, Van Dijk. He reads the situation. He's a Rolls Royce, but he's lazy in his first action.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all these problems come on the back of that. If it had been where he should have been, no problem. But ultimately, he's been lazy. He's been slow. He's not reacted as he should. And at that point, he's...
It's the only thing he can do.
He's through on goal. Yeah, I know. So I don't see how he can't send him off.
Moment in time, right, say if he was in the penalty box at this point, right? So what would have happened if he was in the penalty box? Would it have been a penalty, but it would have got a yellow card because of the double jeopardy, right? Mm. What do you think would have been a better outcome for Liverpool at that moment in time? Do you think it would have been the penalty and having 11 men on the pitch? Or do you think keeping it outside the box and going down to 10 men?
In hindsight, if they'd have been 2-0 down from the penalty at 11, they'd probably lost. Yeah. In hindsight, they've won the game against 10 men.
Incredible.
They probably would go with the other option. But I tell you what, it's a bigger picture thing. I've been on about this for a long time. Trent Alexander-Arnold, I know at the end he's there, you know, going to go at the crowd and he's all pumped up and Liverpool fans probably love him today. He's your biggest problem in that team. Teams target you. He gives you so many goals away. He cost you the first goal and he cost the second goal. Yeah. He just lets Gordon, he leaves him. And Gordon cuts inside and it's a brilliant pass into Isaac. And so, look, I think Trent's a big problem and I just don't think for what he offers going forward compensates for the amount of problems he causes.
You know what? He kind of reminds me of a little bit at the moment, this moment in time. And I think he'll overcome it because I think he's too good. I think Trent's too good to sort of like let this weigh him down. I think he'll overcome it all. But he reminds me a little bit of David Luiz back in the day at Arsenal. Do you remember in Chelsea where he's undoubtedly a very good footballer and he can offer you something, but I'm not quite sure where it fits in. So if you're going to play him at right back, he's going to get forward and he's going to be incredible for you. But you've got to accept that he's going to make mistakes and people are going to target him and people are going to go down that side. But if you play him in that midfield, is he quite as good as somebody else that could do it properly in that job role? Do you know what I mean?
I think it is a problem for him. And I think 100% the teams are looking at that as an area of weakness and an area to expose. Hopefully the two centre-halves for Liverpool for sure, because it is causing them problems. But I'm a bit like you. I think he's a wonderful footballer and playing in that right back position, he's kind of reinvented the position a little bit. He's been so progressive working forward, but he's going to cost them goals for sure. But when you talk about top midfield players or top wide players as a number 10, I'm not quite sure he fits into that role, even though he's got wonderful delivery. I'm not sure he sees all the actions that players who play in them higher positions would see.
1 second, you lot. Starbucks has just arrived. Seriously. Hello, mate. No worries, mate. We're coming down now. Thank you. 1 second. Right, sorry about that. Starbucks has arrived. Lads, happy? We good?
We're good
now.
Sure? We're good now.
Well, I'm kind of not happy because we ordered egg bites, yeah? If you haven't had these, by the way, they're world class. They didn't even cook them. They didn't even cook the egg bites for us.
Be careful with egg.
What on earth? Why?
Don't know. That's what my mum used to say.
Really?
Yeah. Don't know.
Mrs. Goldbridge, get in the comments down below, right? I ain't got a clue. Anyway, boys, how did they get... How have Newcastle lost this game, by the way? How has this happened?
Well, I've said for a long time that Darwin Nunez, I like him. I think there's a player there. I think he'll be a good player. And I think we saw yesterday, although I was shouting, don't shoot, he's hit it absolutely perfect.
I like him, he's a good player. Don't shoot.
He's absolutely perfect. Absolutely perfect. And then the confidence in the second one. You know, it's funny with the player, isn't it? Most of us would have thought he's going to hit Rose Ed with the first one. The second one, you knew he was going to score.
Yeah.
And that's been a striker, isn't it? So, but I think, I don't know, you two played the game. I just think, I said at half-time, if Klopp finds a point from this, he's world-class.
Yeah.
He is a world-class manager. And I think the way he set them up, they never really conceded a big chance after that save from Almiron,
even though
they had a lot of the play. And he set them up. He had to set them up in a place like Newcastle where you make Newcastle think. And they didn't do it a lot, but they had a setup where they could be a threat on the break. Because a lot of teams, they just park, don't they? And it's relentless. So I think Soma, I mean, look, Nunez will take the headlines, but I thought the way Klopp set them up, when they rode that storm out after the first 10 minutes.
Did Liverpool win this or did Newcastle lose it?
No, I think for sure Newcastle, for what they want to achieve this year, they've thrown that one away.
Yeah.
Sure. I think
what did they do wrong then?
I think they become too comfortable and they allow Liverpool, by not killing the game off, to be in the game. Look, Klopp's done well with the team and you're setting them up on a transition and a counter-attack for sure. And their forward players are quick. They've got the quality to see a pass. And I think if you were playing in goal when you see Nunez in that position, I think you're happy as a goalie. I think you're saying shoot. And I think Pope thought, he ain't beating me from there.
The only way he's scoring is by hitting the post and going in, by the way.
I mean,
the only
way he can score. Great position.
Yeah.
I think you back yourself as a goalie
there.
For sure. And I think probably 97, 98 out of 100, you're going to save it.
Yeah.
If it's inside that post, it was the perfect finish. But they played great on the counter-attack. But if you're Newcastle, Eddie Howe obviously talks about Alexander-Arnold should have had a soft second yellow card and it's a red card. I don't think you should be talking about that in the game.
It's 0-0 then, isn't it? Lots happened.
You're 1-0 up. Van Dijk's gone off. You've not beat them in 14 games. That's your time to strike. Yeah. And actually, you know, back up that first win of the season against Villa when we were all talking, waxing lyrical about this Newcastle team. They didn't back it up on the road at a tough game at Man City. And then you've got everything in your favour. You're 1-0 up. Red card for Van Dijk. Come on, even worse scenario, you see it at 1-0.
Yeah.
But at 1-0, the attacking threat Liverpool had, they're in with a moment. And yes, he's missed some big chances, but the confidence he took into the second chance, it looked like he were never going to miss.
Yeah.
And Newcastle have suffered badly there.
I know what you're going to say.
What?
You're going to say, I'm just going to say, for me, the man of the match was Alisson, and that save from Almiron, that's the moment. That's the moment, because it's right after the red card.
Yeah.
If he scores that,
game over.
Newcastle.
Well, it's the point we've just made.
It's going to be 4 or 5.
2-0. Yeah. Liverpool are not coming back from that. Yeah. And I agree. The momentum and the sway of the game.
I thought that's just a world class save, and Newcastle are still going to win. But it's a world class save that actually keeps Liverpool.
We're going to go into a bonkers game at Old Trafford in a minute. But I think once Newcastle don't get that second goal and you're well into the second half, right? I think I totally agree with Eddie Howe. He said at full time, he said, listen, we said at half time, we want you to come out, we want you to kill the game, we want you to get a second, we want you to get a third. Cool, I agree with that. That's the way you should do it. They're down to 10 men. Go and absolutely smash them. But once you get to the 75 minute mark, at that point you have to go, right, lads, okay, let's just stop attacking, keep the ball, possession, tire them out, and we'll just see the game out. I think that's what you have to do. But I think Newcastle just kept going. I think it was a little bit naive.
A little bit naive, yeah, for sure. He will be really disappointed that they've not won that game.
Yeah.
Even the equaliser would have been a dagger.
Even a draw, yeah.
It sucks the life out of you. But when that second one's gone in, really, really tough. But they have to learn to manage them situations.
Yeah, I totally agree.
They need to beat the big team at home there.
The only thing I would say about Newcastle in their defence is when Liverpool get that goal at 1-1 and there's still minutes to go, Newcastle as the home team against 10 men have still got to try and win the game, and that leaves you so susceptible again.
That works against them. It doesn't work in their favour.
Yeah, Liverpool fans like Newcastle
are demanding that we're going, and Liverpool are thinking, right, just one moment, and Salah plays a pass. Boom.
What a pass, by the way.
Yeah. What a pass.
What a pass, by the way.
11 against 11, they might just go, let's take the point.
No, I think maybe right.
But yeah, it plays into Liverpool's hands.
Right, come on then. Man United. You obviously
good win. Move to the next one.
No, you're doing the watch along for this. What was your reaction when that second goal went in after 4 minutes?
4 minutes.
You know what? For somebody who's banged tables, come up with silly analogies, I've got to be honest. I wasn't reacting that bad because I was just like, I'm not actually surprised. Like the first goal is tactically embarrassing. We have a corner and Marcus Rashford's the last man. He doesn't fancy the 50-50. And then he's one of the quickest players in the game who can't catch somebody over 40 yards. Yeah. And then, you know, Onana obviously just ends up sitting down. Second goal, just bad marking. But even at 2-0, I thought Forrester scored these goals too early. You know, we will.
Yeah, it's a good time to go 2-0 down at least.
Yeah,
isn't it?
So I fancied this.
A long time to recover.
Yeah, I fancied this to come back. But I think Ten Hag said it right. You can't be, with respect to Forrest, you can't be making. If that's Man City, it's a classic.
Oh.
But with Forrest, it's like, I'm just glad we got the 3 points because we made hard work of a game. And we're making hard work of everybody at the moment.
Yeah. I've watched the game, same as you, and I just thought that, they scored their 2 goals, not Forest, but it was comfortable after that, really, wasn't it? It was a matter of time. You knew it was going to come. They got the goals that they needed, and it was pretty straightforward. Nottingham Forest offered 0, in fact, didn't they? Absolutely 0. I want to talk about his first goal, all right? So, Onana, he's coming through, one-on-one. What are your options as a goalie at this moment in time when you can see him? By the way, he had the ball on the halfway line, yeah? He had the ball at his feet on the halfway line. What should a goalkeeper be doing when this happens?
Well, I think the first thing, when you actually see the whole thing developing and you see him actually Rashford chasing him back, you're actually wondering where the goalie actually is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the first point. Where actually are you?
Why aren't you on the edge of the 18-yard box? Why aren't you 30 yards out?
Even higher, for sure. You know what I mean? Because if he would have been higher at that first point, he's got a decision to make straight away. Yeah. And when he takes the touch out of his feet and sees the goalie in that position, he's thinking, maybe can I... And then Rashford's got a choice. So he never had any of them choices. He just head down and run.
Yeah.
I really don't know what happened there. And then ultimately, the last thing you want from the goalkeeping bit is just to lay on the floor and just let him roll it in.
I think Rashford's going to get back, which I think most people did.
Do you know what I think? Quickly, before we're talking about the jumping on his ass thing, which is bonk. I've never seen this before, by the way, right? I think he got scared of, you know, when he got lobbed in the pre-season friendly game the week before the season started? I think he got scared of them getting broke on and him getting lobbed to make look a bit of a plonker, basically. Yeah, so I think he has seen him like running for him and he's just gone, oh, I'm just going to sit back here. Where you shouldn't do that.
No,
you should be out. When the player is running down, you need to be narrowing that angle down. Make him make a decision, basically. You want him to go, right, mate, you are 1-1 with me. You better score this goal because I'm not going to make it easy for you.
But at that point, if he's doing all them things that ultimately a goalie who's playing in the Premier League would normally do, at the point he's got all this to calculate, is he's running through and he's seeing this big goalie, this big presence, making it tough. He's thinking, can I go around him? Do I chip him? What do I do? And then all of a sudden he's got Rashford breathing down his neck.
Yeah.
All them things should have been happening that would have led to possibly that not being a goal.
Yeah.
But ultimately, to be so deep, maybe the thought process is what you said.
He's 5 yards out when the goal goes in. Four yards out, he jumps back onto his ass and he's 2 yards off the line.
I
don't know how that could happen.
I've never seen a counter-attack goal from a corner like that where the goalie's ended up.
I think it's
hard to calculate what his actually thought process is unless it's just the fear of the lob in the pre-season game.
I think it's we spoke about it on the United Stand. I think that last season that defence and goalkeeper, whether it was good enough or not, knew what it was doing. And obviously, you guys will know, you change a goalkeeper to a ball-playing goalkeeper, you're not going to have the positives of De Gea and a ball-playing goalkeeper. It's a different goalkeeper with a different relationship. And you can see that. The team is uncertain, and he's uncertain. And at the moment, it's going to take time.
I'm not saying De Gea would have saved that. Look, where he actually rolled it in and where Onana is, De Gea's not, nobody's saving it because it's crazy. But the whole thing about goalkeeping is being in an aggressive position as the counter-attack's developing. You should have been organising the things in front of you so the counter-attack's not available. But then you react to the actions that are happening and he wouldn't have had the opportunity to run so far with De Gea in goal. He would have had to make a decision at some point. And as all that's happening, he's probably putting the brakes on and slowing down and Rashford probably gets a tackle.
I just find it amazing that on a corner, Marcus Rashford's your last man.
Last man, it's bonkers.
He doesn't want to tackle and he doesn't want to run back. It's weird. Like, you've got to put that on
that's
a good idea.
The manager and the coaches, set that up.
No, that's the setup, yeah.
They set that up. That before the game. So everybody knows their job role, right? But like I said, again, as a goalie, and this is not an Onana bashing, by the way, because I don't think that's a goal in every single Premier League game, by the way. He's scoring that, yeah? It's like you say, it's just trying to make sure you're in the optimal position at all times to be able to maybe get in somebody's head, maybe make a save of some sort. But it's without doubt his job to be able to say, right, Marcus, come round, make sure you're right behind it, not running.
It's the organisation.
It's bonkers.
It saves the work.
It's absolute bonkers. It's doing that. It's like the Van Dijk one in that it's that lazy little bit to firsting. But then once that mistake happens, you're always chasing from that moment on. Who were you most impressed with on Saturday afternoon? Which player stood out?
Bruno Fernandes was my man of the match.
Yeah.
I think he gets a lot of unfair criticism. It'd be interesting to see what Souness and them lot have got to say this morning, considering they're always.
Oh, they'll be quiet this morning.
Yeah, but Van Dijk gets himself sent off, should get a four-match ban for the way he spoke to the officials afterwards. But Bruno Fernandes, 2-0 down, massive part in the comeback, and that's leadership. I just think I thought Bruno was really good. Rashford actually had a terrible game, but back on that left-hand side, he's got more assists now in the Premier League than Ronaldo and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, apparently. I don't know why Ollie's in that record, but Ronaldo certainly.
Take it.
And he's... He had a bad game, but he won a penalty, and it was a penalty. I don't know. Bias punditry, the Carragher bandwagon. It was Keown this time. Bloody, I thought he was going to start spewing smoke from his head. He was that angry. I don't know what he's on about. It's a penalty.
It's a penalty.
Any game. I don't care whether it's a United
player.
It's
a lazy, sloppy challenge, and it's a penalty.
And he got the assist for the Eriksen goal. So just shows you, Rashford didn't have a good game, but put him on the left wing, 2 goal contributions.
Somehow Man United played 3 and they've got 6 points when, like I say, they're always going to beat Notts Forest and it was a comfortable win in the end, even though it was 3-2. But they're on 6 points and it's not the worst start to a season, even though performances aren't great.
And also from Forest's point of view, they've had a tough start. They've been to Emirates,
games.
They've been to Old Trafford and they've lost by one goal. So they've got a lot. They shouldn't be in trouble this year.
Yeah, OK. I want to take it to the Emirates, Arsenal 2. We're going to start with you, Watto, all right? I want you to break down this first goal. Pereira, just break it down for me, because I've got in my head what has happened for this goal. Because if you look at Aaron Ramsdale, it just looks a bit like, whoa, what's happened there?
It's modern goalkeeping, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the first actions of the game. They've got the ball. It's high to play as a basically centre-half, yeah, to push the lines of the units up the field. He's virtually playing with the two centre-halves to be playing. And he's shoulder short on a pass. It's obviously, you know, it's 20 yards short.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's blind panic because, yeah, you've got to get in some retreat, kind of shot stopping position. But I never played so high, and I'm assuming you never. So in that moment,
are you saying that we're not progressive goalkeepers, Dave?
We're progressive.
Is that what you're saying?
We are very progressive. But the
you could probably pick it up when you were playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I still couldn't kick it very far. But the point I'm making is, how do you train for that short pass at that moment to turn it into a shot-stopping exercise?
Yeah.
Because you're so far out of your goal, and he's retreated, Aaron, as fast as he can retreat,
yeah,
but he's lost all his bearings.
Yeah, that's exactly
he doesn't know where the goal is, because ultimately, when you're on the training pitch and you're playing, and obviously on the training pitch, that's never happened, has it?
Yeah, no.
He's hit him and he's sprayed it out to the left, or he's taken a touch and he's played up the chat, whatever action he's done. But the one thing he's never practiced is that ball being short. And now I've got to make a save.
And
retreat to make a save. Yeah. And he's gone as quick as he can. But when the actual shot's come and he's pushed and he's had a real good dive, he's thinking, well, he's praying that ball's wide. Because,
yeah,
he doesn't know where the goal is. It's a fact. He just doesn't know where the goal is.
Do you know what I think's happened is, if you actually look at it, when Pereira gets the ball to his feet, he gets it out of his feet quickly.
Yeah.
And his whole body shape is he almost runs past the ball,
yeah,
because it shows that he's trying to do a big one in that top corner over there.
Yeah.
And Aaron Ramsdale is clever enough to see he's going to do that, right? So he sees that he's running round it, and what that means is the only way he can do it really is put that big one. He's trying to lob him into that top right-hand corner, right, as we look at it. So Aaron Ramsdale's thinking he's definitely putting it here, so he's run back towards the top corner of his goal.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
Matias Pereira, and I genuinely mean this, has shanked the shit out of it, right?
Oh, he's pulled it.
He has pulled the life out of this shot, right? He's trying to chip it, all up and over Aaron Ramsdale. He has, without doubt, shanked it, and it's gone into this bottom left corner. Aaron Ramsdale knows that he's trying to put it up there, but he's got very lucky with the execution of it, and it's absolutely caught him out. So I do feel a little bit sorry for him, but either way, no matter what happens in that position, you have to be back into a position where you can cover all angles. Do you know what I mean? When a ball goes in that pace,
you can't try and second.
You've got to save it. Yeah. It was just one of those things that it was horrible.
He's in a difficult situation though, isn't he? Because you said last year as a goalkeeper, you want to be knowing that the reserve goalkeeper is the reserve and you're number one.
Yeah.
And he is in a position now where, look, I think David Raya should play. I like Ramsdale, but I think Raya is more suitable to the way that Arsenal want to play. And it doesn't matter who you are, Ramsdale's going to have that in the back of his head.
Mate, look,
and at what, you know, it's not right. If you're the goalkeeper and you're Edison or Alisson, you're allowed a mistake and you're still the goalkeeper.
Yeah.
How's that going to work? Because what mistakes does Ramsdale have to make to lose his place and give Raya a chance? I don't like that situation.
Well, you've been a goalie coach for, what, 20 years? You know how this works. You know how the pecking order works in goalkeepers and football clubs, right? That's not the way to do things, is it?
No, it's not the way to do things. And for sure, we've been there, we've played, we've coached, we've been in the environment. When that ball's gone in the goal, human nature, he's obviously questioning himself, could I do this, could I do that? But the first thing he's thinking is, Ray's just seen that happen.
Yeah.
I'm done here.
It's true.
Keepers make mistakes, though. You've got to know you're number one, haven't you?
Yeah, it's true.
Moment,
I guarantee
you. I don't like two goalkeepers.
No, I hate
like
it.
That.
It's pathetic. It's something that didn't need to happen, right? It did not need to sign David Raya.
He's been a top goalie for 2 years.
Top
goalie.
Arteta's bought Raya for a reason, hasn't
he? Yeah. But ultimately now, rightly or wrongly, because I don't think it's all his fault, the first goal, there's so much gone wrong in front of it. But now, it's opened the door for the manager to change.
Yeah, without doubt.
And if the manager changes, the next guy coming in has to feel as though he's got the 10 to 12 game platform, because you can't change one-on-one. You have to have a run of games.
Didn't somebody say, who were we talking about earlier? Somebody said that apparently Aaron Ramsdale's away form is better and David Raya's home form is better. So why don't we play David Raya at home and Ramsdale.
This is potentially what we're coming to. Mate, it cannot be.
He's been a top goalie for 2 years, right? He's on the edge of being England's number one with Jordan Pickford. He's right there.
He must be gutted.
When he's full of confidence and he's got a manager that's putting his arm around him, he's as good as anybody in this country, isn't he?
You know what the equivalent is? It would be like Harry Kane at Spurs last year and they go and buy Osimhen.
Yeah, it is, exactly, you know, that.
But we're only playing one striker.
Yeah, if you don't score, if you don't score this
all
week...
All the things we've spoke about Arteta being a good, potentially great manager,
yeah,
I think he's made a big mistake here.
I totally agree.
And well, not
I think he's
having
made a bigger mistake.
Having his arm around him.
Yeah, oh my God.
Yeah, potentially.
Oh my
but
God.
In
did,
this
you,
one
did you watch this game, by the way? Like,
yeah, but I just think, you know, the goalkeeper well, thing's great, but that it's like what United have done with Onana. We had a good season last year, and this is like restarting again. And Arsenal had a good season last year, and he's ripped his midfield up, and the balance is not there. Yeah. I was doing my radio show on Saturday night, and it was the calls were Arsenal. I was like, well, you've drawn, but they weren't moaning about the result. It was the midfield. Why has he bought Havertz? 65 million.
Thomas Partey's playing at right back. You've got Kai Havertz, who had a stinking season last year at Chelsea, gets bought for 60 million quid.
They've got
the
someone
way.
Like Smith Rowe, who I'd give a go for free.
So I just think he's probably overcomplicating it a little bit.
And they need a striker.
Oh my gosh, they need a striker. But everybody needs a striker. So where do you get a striker from?
Arsenal will be all right, but the problem is...
They need a striker, but what they're spending the money on Raya for when you've got a top goalie and really go and invest, go and spend the big bucks and say that you're a challenger and go and buy the big forward.
Big forward. £70 million on Havertz when you could have got a striker.
Well, they also got Balogun, haven't they, that they're going to sell? I've been hearing about for years. I still don't know anything about him. Apparently they're going to get a lot of money.
This is a heck of a result for Fulham, by the way. An absolute heck of a result. Down to 10 men. They score that kind of last-minute goal. Paulinho, they will be buzzing coming away from with that.
This is what we were talking about last year, isn't it? We were talking about Arsenal, and Arsenal should win that game, but ultimately Arsenal aren't Man City. And teams like Fulham can go and get results at Anfield in the Emirates, and they do deserve respect because we know this. They're not a bad side.
I think, unfortunately, what this has shown us is that I think, give it even another 3 or 4 months, Man City are probably going to be 10, 12, 15 points ahead already at that moment in time, aren't
they? I think they'll have the Premier League done by the time I put my pumpkins out.
Oh, we don't want to see this. We don't want to see this.
The top teams can't afford to drop points
especially
against,
at home
against 10,
especially
against
at home.
10 men.
No one's going to have the consistency, is
no,
there? There's
can't.
Too many, and actually this season there's too many teams that are like, you know, Liverpool are back, Chelsea look good, Spurs look good.
Yeah.
It's that, you know, Arsenal last year took 43 from 48. In their first 48.
Yeah, I know.
Still didn't win the league, and they're not going to take 43 from 48 this time.
Okay, Watto, do you know what time it is?
One question to go. Here we go. I love this bit.
Love this because we haven't got one question right all season so far.
Here we go then, boys. One question to go. The score is currently an exciting 0-0. So, best referee's back. So,
stop looking.
I'm looking straight ahead.
I'm listening intently. Are you clear? What club did Bolton sign JJ Okocha from? In 2002?
That's a hard question. I can't help you. I'm almost certain I can't help you.
I haven't got an absolute... I've got no idea. I know he played for Nigeria.
He was so good they named him twice.
I'm going to go with a German club, and I'm going to go with... God knows. Stuttgart.
I'm afraid not.
No, I've got a clue. It's too hard.
This is too hard. Oh, this is ridiculous. It's not a German team, is it? It's not, is it?
I can't help you, mate.
I would have got it. I've just seen it now.
Valencia.
No, I'm afraid not. French team.
Oh, okay.
I know what it is. I've seen it.
Go.
The big dogs. PSG.
Honestly? I didn't have a clue.
It stays at 0-0, guys.
Wow, this is incredible.
There are questions. I suppose this is the theme.
This is the thing, isn't it?
Can we keep it to a 0-0 all the way through?
All the way through the season. You've got a good chance of keeping it clean, mate.
What a segment.
First clean sheet
is.
Of the season.
Hey, thank you. Right, come on, Chelsea, Luton, the Friday night game. I watched this in the pub, actually, and I really enjoyed it. It was nice. Just watching football in the pub, it's like, oh, it's world class.
I think Chelsea needed it on the Friday night, didn't
they? Yeah, they did, yeah.
Obviously started off with a good point, went away from home and then got beat.
Yeah.
You thought, is this going to be Chelsea over the last 18 months? It were a good game for them to play at home. Look, they dominated the game. Look, really tough for Luton, you know what I mean?
They're a team that could end up with nil points in May.
I
just won't predict they win any game. I haven't seen it. I mean, they've not played at home. I think it's a massive game
but
on Friday.
We talk a lot about the level.
Yeah.
The level, it's, big, isn't it? It's a massive jump for them. And,
just enjoy it. You know,
just try and enjoy it, but at least when they went to Brighton, they've scored a goal already, because it's going to be tough for them in open play to get anything, you know what I mean?
I never experienced this, obviously, but you know, like when we're kids and there's popular kids and they have a party and then, you know, the unpopular kid gets invited. Just enjoy it. It was a mistake. You shouldn't be there. Enjoy it.
I used to like them games, you know, when it would pass the parcel, especially when it's your own party, because you always knew you were going to win, didn't you? But actually, my mum and dad once, I didn't win. I had to go to my bedroom because I cried because I got beat.
Didn't you just hate
lost pass the parcel. I mean, come on.
Didn't you hate them people that passed the parcel who didn't do it properly? So you'd have it, you pass it to me, and then they go...
Stop and slow.
What are you bloody passing it?
I think that's what's happened at my party, and I still can't win.
How have we gotten to pass the pass?
I don't know. Anyway.
Sterling, I want to talk about Sterling, because I am putting him into my fantasy Premier League team this morning. He is going in there. He's a different player this season. He is going to score buckets of goals, isn't he?
But you know what? That's what I thought Pochettino would bring to this team. I think he's the manager that epitomises what players want.
Yeah.
And I think...
Well, Luke Shaw loved him at Southampton.
Yeah, like, he's got fantastic structure.
He's picking up and all sorts.
The training
people
well.
Manager, isn't
he? He's a people manager, and Sterling is a fantastic player.
He's a bit like Ange. He's a bit like Big Ange, isn't he?
Big Ange could be the man.
We'll talk about Big Ange in a minute, but he is. He's a people manager. You want to play for him. The players want to do well for him. Yeah, they
and
do.
You know what? He played with a smile on his face on that Friday night, and he looked like the footballer Man City had 4 or 5 years ago. And continuing performances like that, I don't think Guardiola makes too many mistakes, but on that showing, you have to all be, and not being disrespectful, say it's against Luton and whatever, but he looks like he's coming back to the Man City form for sure.
I think Pochettino's got a level. This is what I said. I think he can get Chelsea consistently into the top four, but he won't win your titles, because I think he's the sort of manager that can manage a certain player really, really well. I think he's going to struggle with the Neymars and the Messis, because they're world-class players who probably don't need an arm around their shoulder.
Yeah.
But the Sterlings, who've had a bad year... You know what, Raheem? You need to just run at people.
Boom.
A bit of love. He's gone that. And he was brilliant against West Ham. I didn't watch that game against Luton, but apparently he was brilliant again. And, you know, that's the sort of Raheem Sterling that walks straight into an England team, which, to be honest, over the last year, I've gone, oh, he ain't good enough. But, the Chelsea, with no European football as well, a lot of time on the training ground, a lot of hugs and, you know, making them feel good.
Yeah. A couple of players quickly I just want to talk about. First of all, Nicholas Jackson. The Pochettino said after the game, he said, mark my words, this guy will become one of the top strikers in world football, is what he said. Word for word, by the way. Word for word. He said, this guy will become one of the top strikers in world football, which, again, gets me excited, which makes me want to put him in my fantasy Premier League team.
Is he nine?
Well,
is he?
Mark's just mentioned it. He's worked at the top level, Pochettino.
Yeah. He knows what he's talking about.
Messes, so he's seen something on the training ground and in the glimpses he's had to think,
It's also
very clever what we were just saying there, though, isn't it? If you're saying publicly, this guy's going to be one of the best strikers, he's at home going, I'm going to be one of the best strikers in the world. It's confidence, isn't it?
Yeah. And Robert Sanchez in goal for Chelsea got off to a decent start, to be fair. I've always liked Robert Sanchez, you know, I have. I thought he's a very good goalkeeper, good shot stopper, good with his feet, just needs to find something that really works for him, do you know what I mean? But I think he'll do a decent job for Chelsea. This
could be their environment,
or
his environment at Chelsea. I think he's growing into it. But for sure, he's a good goalie. He can play football with his feet,
for sure.
But he's got the physical attributes that are more suited than Kepa in the Premier League.
I totally agree.
I think Chelsea are not going to be flying all the time, and he's going to have to make big saves.
Yeah.
But he's certainly competent enough to play with his feet.
It was obviously a fallout with De Zerbi rather than not being a good goalkeeper, because a year ago, before De Zerbi was there, he was considered a top goalkeeper.
He was, yeah. Before we talk about Spurs, we're going to talk about Spurs and Big Ange and Bournemouth. What a win for them, by the way. I want to talk about Mike Dean, okay? I don't know if you saw this in the week, right? So he's done a podcast on the Simon Jordan podcast. Basically talking...
Not as popular as the Fozcast.
No, obviously.
Go Resave Football.
No, or go... Yeah, they're damn right as well.
Podcast.
Go and watch some of the episodes, by the way, the Balton. Basically, he's done this podcast and he was talking about the Chelsea-Tottenham match, beginning of last season. You remember the one? It's the one with Conte and with Tuchel and the spat and all that kind of stuff. Anyway...
It was
the one decision in particular. It was the hair pull. It was... who was it that pulled Cucurella's hair? Anyway... The referee at the time didn't really see it, didn't say anything, didn't do anything about it, okay? Whereas Mike Dean was on VAR at that moment in time, and instead of doing what he should have done, which is basically his job, he should have seen it and said, whoa, he's just pulled his hair, it's a penalty, yeah? It is as simple as that, this is what you should do. No, it wasn't a penalty, was it? But it led to the goal.
It led to the goal
that Tottenham scored, which is why Tuchel was so incensed, basically, yeah? Which is why he was absolutely fuming. And the reason why he said he didn't say anything or do anything is he said because, basically, the referee at the time, it's his mate, and because he hasn't seen it, he didn't want to make a thing of it, and that was all there was to it.
Have you seen the follow-up, though, now? It's been taken out of context because, you know, at the end of the day, we don't actually get on, but if you are together with people on a Saturday, like if you're playing a game, you basically are mates for that game. So I've just used the word mate, like, because actually we're working together. But ultimately, he's still not backtracked on the fact that it's incompetence. And to me, it doesn't surprise me. I don't know what you think, Watto. It doesn't surprise me because we've just had another bad weekend of stuff. And VAR should be there to bring consistency. And when you look at the handball in the Sheffield United game, which we'll talk about, which wasn't given in the Spurs game with United, they're the same handball in the same league, 1 week apart. And next week, we don't know whether it's a penalty decision or not.
50-50.
Because VAR is actually not being used for consistency. It's being used to, unless the referee gets it 100% wrong, they'll go with it.
Yeah.
And that's not the way to use it. And that's a prime example there. Well, he's pulled his hair. It probably is a foul, but I don't really want to get my mate in trouble.
I don't want to ruffle any feathers. Let's just keep
it going. Stick with it. And that's not the way we should be using it. We don't need VAR then, because you're still basically 99% of the time, you're sticking with the wrong decision on the pitch to stick with your mate.
This is why we say it all the time. Get a Premier League player, an ex-Premier League player in that room with the referee, yeah? Because he sees it from a different perspective. He understands it from what it's like being a player on the pitch in that moment in time. And if I'm a goalkeeper, right, and my defender has just had his hair yanked, right, by another player, straight away I'm going, well, that's a foul. That's literally, you can't play on at this moment in time. Do you know what I mean? It's a foul. It's as simple as that. So a former Premier League player would say, Mike, have a look at this, mate. It's a foul. You need to let them know. And you need to flag it up now.
You're right and you're wrong, though, aren't you? Because I think I could do a better job. Because ultimately, look at the weekend. You've got a certain Agbong Lahore and Keown saying,
and Carragher,
as an ex-player, I know Rashford's dived there. And
yeah,
this whole ex-player thing needs to stop. It needs to be an unbiased
that's a very good
ex-player.
Point.
Yeah. My point. Sure.
Maybe an ex-player that's not played for the top six.
Yeah,
who's been riddled by bias. Yeah,
infected by this bias.
But my point would be then, as well on the VAR, surely there's competent referees down the line who should maybe never be capable to referee a Premier League game, but they know the rules of the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So now, I've not got my mates refereeing this game. I'm a referee. I don't referee Premier League games because I'm not deemed at that level. But I know the rules of the game and I can watch this TV and I don't care whether it's Brooks, Atkins, whoever is reffing, I'm going to watch this TV and I'm going to tell you what's happening by the letter
of the
law.
Isolated.
I've got no emotion to that. And maybe there should just be VAR officials
who have nothing to do with that.
Elite group of referees. But I know the rules of the game.
In their ear.
And I can watch this TV and give you some proper
content. Stuart Prattwell, I know we don't know each other. You need to look at that again. But you know what as well? Here's a good point for you. Why do the Premier League only recruit British referees? Considering we've got Norwegian strikers, Portuguese midfielders, we live in a diverse world. Why do we have to have? Why are we limiting ourselves to British referees?
I never thought about
because
this.
Because why can't we take a German?
It's a universal game.
Or a Danish.
It's a
referee.
Universal game. It's not have to be British to referee.
And the language barrier. Come on.
No, well, that's ridiculous. Have gone abroad when they've had moments.
We're best league in the world. We should be recruiting the best referees, and we don't. We go, you know, it's a small pool, and we haven't got good referees. We should be looking worldwide.
I like that.
Champions League of referees.
Yes, I like that. I'm all over it. Right, Bournemouth against Spurs. This one on paper before the game looked like a tricky game. It did, and genuinely, I think we spoke about it, didn't we? And we both gave it as a draw. We both gave this as a possible draw.
No, you went away win.
Did I go away win? Yeah. Get in there.
Because you're a Spurs fan.
Well, as a kid, as a child, all right? As an infant, I was a Tottenham fan, okay? But anyway, on paper, it was a tricky one. As the game planned out, Tottenham are just, they're impressing me. Like, week after week after
week. Basuma again.
They
running the show. What a player. It's like a new signing.
Everybody. Well, they look like a different team.
He's inspired them. They're playing football like they're playing with the shackles off.
We like Big Ange, don't we? By the way,
we like Big Ange, don't we? He's playing proper football. They're playing triangles in their own 18-yard box.
Yeah.
But they played in that first 10-15
minutes. Their elite football.
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Burrito football.
But Bournemouth started pressing and thought, we've got a chance here. Yeah. We're going to nick one here and we're going to get a goal. But they kept playing, they kept playing, they kept playing. The goals have been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Madison, one goal, two assists already. He looks the real deal. I think Ange's done what he's done with them. But I think they're all playing with such confidence and belief. But he must just give them that obviously, look, the training, the popping it off in training for sure. But to step in and do it on a match day is a different mentality. Because you've seen the Friday training ground games sometimes, absolute disaster. The opposition, the second 11, pop you four or five. Yeah. But these guys are taking all that work off the training ground and playing through the thirds into the match. Maddison looks like a different player, obviously. He's stepped up the level, gone to a bigger club. And, if they could have a centre-forward to replace Kane. I mean, Kane must have been sat at home thinking,
what have I done?
They might win a trophy here.
What have I done?
Nah, they won't. It's Spurs. New manager bounce has to be taken into account as well. I think when they play a Man City or an Arsenal or a Liverpool, I know they played United, but we're not very good at the moment. So I think Spurs have got to be... I still don't put Spurs in the top eight. I still think it's very, very competitive. But the good thing for Spurs is they're playing good football, which must be great for their fans.
Yeah. The fans
and they're in the conversation. I didn't put them in the top eight because I didn't think they'd be in the conversation, but they're in it. I did see somebody at the weekend, they say, we're better off without Kane. I said, you're having a bloody laugh. You know, Harry Kane, where Richarlison is, and you're an even better side. You know,
he'd have scored four at Bournemouth.
Yeah. Quickly, Richarlison, like, I was pulling my hair out watching him on Saturday. Honestly, Saturday morning, I was pulling my hair out. I'm thinking, you're stropping around the place, you're getting yellow card. The reason why he has to come up, I said this to my dad, right, so listen to this, okay, yeah, so I'm watching it with my dad, right, and he was like, that bloody Richarlison, blah, blah, blah. And I went, right, I said, look at this, yeah, so he's just got a silly yellow card, right, it's about, what, 55th minute or something like that, I said, he's just got a silly yellow card, if I was manager of Tottenham, right, I would sit him down with all the other lads and I'd go, right, if any of you get a yellow card for doing something so stupid and petulant as that, right, you will be getting fined, I'll fine you 2 days' wages or something, right, because what happens now is, I know that you've lost your head, and I know that you are very close to getting a second yellow card and a red card, and then you'll cost us, right? But not only that, you'll accrue five by doing that easily. You'll accrue five by doing that in 2 months, and then we'll miss you for a game. So you set us back. So if you get a yellow card for doing something like that, you're getting fined for it. It's as simple as that. So people think, oh, it's just the way he is. No, no, you've got to get control of yourself. You've got to get control of your emotions and not do silly shit like
not,
that,
not
basically.
In a game like that where they were so in control.
Exactly.
And
that
the
can
point,
just ruin it all,
ruin
can't
everything.
It?
Yeah, it's just crazy.
There are another club that, if they had a striker, you know, it's they definitely need a 20-goal striker because Kane got 28 last year, so they need a 20-goal striker.
Somebody to replace all that.
Let's have it. Big Ange. I don't think Kane realised maybe the kind of soccer he was going to play.
Yeah, true that, yeah.
If he got 28 last year, if they keep playing like this, it'd have been in 30s. Easy.
Mate, easy.
But that's history. He's at Bayern Munich and they need a centre-forward.
He's done the right thing.
Quickly, Bournemouth, before we move on, because I want to talk, actually, another off-topic segment. I don't know if it's off-topic, but either way, I want to talk about the Spanish FA and how they've been treating the women recently. We'll talk about that in a second. Quickly, Bournemouth, though. I think we're happy with Bournemouth, aren't they?
They'll be all right.
They're a decent team,
They'll be all right,
aren't they?
These aren't the games that they'll judge their season. You know, they need to play the Lutons, the Sheffield United, Forests, get themselves to 40 points and stay up. There's only one team going down this year, isn't there? Because Sheffield United and Luton are definitely
going
down.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, I'm happy with
that. No, I think they'll be okay, but it's a tough test against that Spurs team at the minute.
Okay, so all over the news at this moment in time is the basically the Spanish FA. They've just won the Women's World Cup. And we knew of this before the final because they were talking about all the manager and like then the chief exec or whoever he is, and it all sounds a little bit sort of kept in house, and they're all kind of in control, and they've all got too much power, and they've ran it a certain way for so many years.
Yeah.
And then all of this stuff has happened after the game. The manager's kissing the player on the lips. It's not consensual. All that kind of stuff. What do we make of it? It just sounds corrupt, basically, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I actually thought that this Louis guy was the guy they were talking about during the World Cup because actually they won the World Cup and some of their players weren't even there.
Yeah.
So, I mean, well done for winning the World Cup. You deserved it. But, look, women's football's on the up. My daughter plays women's football. It's getting a lot better. It's getting a lot more people watching it. But this sort of thing, it's unsavoury, however way you look at it. I mean, there'll be people there going, it's not that deep. There'll be other people saying it's an outrage. Obviously, he's got to go. But I think the big lesson I would say is that these sort of conversations is why, you know, women's football needs to be on the same page as men's football. That's the journey.
Yep.
This would not happen in the men's game. It just wouldn't, because those scenarios wouldn't happen. So they've got to look at it and go, well, how do we safeguard away from this sort of stuff happening?
Yeah.
Look, it's a new sport. Maybe this will, some good will come from this, that, you know, there are boundaries. Don't go up to a woman footballer and start kissing her and putting her on your shoulder, because you might end up with something like that. Yeah, it's a shame because they've just won the bloody World Cup.
That's it for me. Look, the reality is there was so much stuff around that team before they even went to the World Cup. They've taken a team there, and I watched the game against England, and they played so well.
Yeah, they did.
They looked a yard ahead of the game on England on that one performance, and they've done what obviously England wanted to do. All the teams who turned up to try and win that World Cup in Australia. And actually, the moment of success has now been taken away from him because he's kissed her when she's won the World Cup, and ultimately he's stepped across the line there.
Without
and
doubt.
We have to take it back to the fact and talk about these girls and women and talk about what they've just done, which is won the World Cup, and this has to be dealt with. But the moment they've all worked for in their lives is now gone. Mm. There's people resigning, talking about not playing, not doing this. That one moment that they've all worked for, which it's is the biggest moment in women's football, to win the World Cup, it's gone because he's, for whatever reason, decided to give her a kiss.
I think from where I stand, it just the whole thing stinks of misogyny, it stinks of sexism. And I think the reason why this has come to such a head and to such a point is we heard about all these rumblings weeks ago. We heard about how it gets ran in the Spanish FA, especially on the women's side of things. And we kind of knew that the women weren't happy. Apparently, none of them really liked the thing. So we don't even get to see what's happened behind the scenes and what's happened in the past. They maybe have not had the voice to be able to come out and say it. And now this has happened. They've gone, right, I found my voice. I'm going to tell you exactly
how it's run. The platform is there for them.
Yeah, the platform is there for them. So hopefully something gets sorted with it all, but it shouldn't be allowed to happen.
It shouldn't happen, but really, it's congratulations. It's a
different, game as well, because when my daughter was playing in the local FA, it's run by men. It's all men. Yeah. It's all men, and that needs to change. It needs to be, you know, you need to bring women into those positions of power to understand women, because men and women are very different. Surprise, surprise.
Absolutely.
There's different things that are acceptable from a woman with a woman and a man on a woman, and we all know that. You know, in a nightclub, you know, on a bus, like so. Yeah, there's lessons to be learned, but the ultimate thing is that it's such a shame because they won the World Cup and everyone's talking about something very different.
Totally agree. We've got the quiz in a minute, guys. Just quickly, I want to talk about Brighton and the West Ham game. I really want to talk about this game because...
Does anybody have this one as a predictor?
No chance. No chance. And I said at the beginning of the show, right? I said at the beginning of the show that goalkeepers were on top this week and goalkeepers made some unbelievable saves. Nobody more so than Alfonso Areola. And I've watched back last week's episode, by the way, and he made a joke about a tit, something like that. And I was like, what are you on about here? Over my head like you wouldn't believe. So sorry, I apologise to you lot.
Obviously not got a bit of experience.
Yeah, so anyway, I want to talk about Alfonso Areola, okay? The couple free saves that he made in this game.
And late on, when the game... It were already 3-1 at this point.
World-class save. You might get one of them saves once in a game, once in a blue moon, and he's had two or three in one game on telly. It was a thing of beauty, wasn't it?
He produced some massive moments for him there. But everybody's forgot about that because on paper it's 3-1.
It looks like a comfy
win. But as soon as it went to 3-1, honestly, it was charge of the Light Brigade from Brighton, and he's made, like you said, three unbelievable saves in what, from 84 or 85 minutes till how long we're on, 7 or 8 minutes extra. In that 10, 12, 13 minutes, unbelievable, and it were relentless pressure.
Yeah, I know.
But you just see the score here, 3-1, everybody's, West Ham must have performed unbelievable. I think virtually every shot of theirs went in.
They were ruthless, by the way, in front of goal.
Well, have you seen this stat? Brighton had 68 touches in the opposition's box, which is a Premier League record, second most in Premier League records since 08-09, and they've lost 3-1. And we saw it with Everton last year. They went there and everyone was like, how's that happened? So it's not like Brighton have had a bad day. Brighton have played the way that Brighton play. Right, there's a way
the opposition goalies performed heroics. I think the one thing I think, and I might be a little bit biased because I work with Prowsey at Southampton, but he's a good signing for West Ham.
If he's not in the England squad and Calvin Phillips is in the England squad, then every English fan should be protesting in their city. It would be a bloody disgrace.
If you're James Ward-Prowse and this happens, that'll do. Game over. There's no point in even
trying. He's in the spotlight now. I mean, Southampton, rightly or wrongly, unfashionable club, got relegated. West Ham had a great start to the season. He's fundamental to that.
He's got a platform.
He's in the spotlight. Yeah. He's got the platform. They've just brought this Kudos in. I mean, it's a brilliant signing. Yeah. I mean, that's a question in itself. Brighton wanted him. He chooses West Ham. Brighton's the right choice. West Ham's got the status. It's a status signing, isn't it?
So
they're looking good. Maguire should go to West Ham. It's a good signing for him.
I think they're on the up, West Ham. They seem to be making, even though the fans were really unhappy pre the start of the season because they'd not made the signings. Look, signing a Prowsey, he's a Rolls Royce of a midfield player. You know,
you've worked with him. You know what he's like.
He's a Rolls Royce. Yeah, he's a proper player. He sees the passes. He can get up and down the pitch. The goal he scores, he chases 60 yards to get up with a play.
That honesty,
gets a shot blocked.
He's
got that English mentality, that honesty, taps the rebound in. But they're the massive threat on set plays. He's the virtually the best in the business at the league. But he's a proper midfield player.
This is why West Ham should sign Harry Maguire, because they are such a threat
from
set plays.
And he's a monster.
You've got a big slabhead running in there and getting on the end of some of these balls into the box. He can reignite his career by doing
this. He needs to learn to direct it, because he's brilliant at winning it.
Yeah,
50p's over there.
But they've gone to basics, West Ham, haven't they? Gone back to basics. Last year, Scamacca was there. Didn't really work. They've got Antonio back. You've got Danny Ings on the bench. You can rotate that. Jared Bowen, James Ward-Prowse for the set pieces. David Moyes has just simplified.
He's built a proper team, though.
Yeah, damn right.
But they're a good team, and I think...
And the keeper's very good, like you say.
Yeah.
I like both of these teams. I think they're going to have fantastic seasons, but more importantly, quiz time, boys.
Boom!
Quiz time, boys. Come on in, let's go. Jamie... 10 questions. Are they ready?
Yeah, we are ready to go.
Let's go, baby.
Question number one. What club did Manchester City sign Yaya Toure from?
Barcelona.
Correct. 1-0 goal bridge.
Can he see them questions, Jim?
No, I'm just intelligent.
Question number two. Which striker scored the goal when Steven Gerrard did his infamous slip?
Demba Ba.
Correct.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Goldridge on fire.
That coffee. I should be sponsored by Starbucks.
We need to get an extra shot in ours.
Groovers in the hole. I even hate that song.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, question three. Who was the only team to win the FA Cup and then be relegated from the
Wigan.
Top flight in the same season?
I had that. I was just about to go. I didn't even get the word out. My mouth was going,
Wigan.
Correct.
2-1.
I know who scored. Ben Watson.
Ben Watson, yeah. What a
boom.
Good lad, him, you know.
Ladder.
You say ginger hair there, Jay?
Yeah, ginger hair.
He's in the ginger hair club. Yeah. They have a little membership club, right?
Yeah.
They've got an email list.
There's five in the gun.
Ben Watson's very popular in that group.
Five in the gun.
De Bruyne is the leader. But...
go, Jay.
That was in 2013, by the way. That game. Question number four. Career path. I have played for Lens, Toulouse, PSG, Tottenham, Villarreal, Nottingham Forest.
Aurier.
Correct.
Oh!
Serge Aurier.
We're getting battered, Megan.
You're getting battered. You're on zero,
all right?
Speak
mate.
For yourself.
Well, I can.
3-1-0.
Plenty of time,
come on.
Question number five. Who scored Arsenal's second goal in this game week?
Saka.
No.
Nketiah. Thank you very much.
Correct.
You've got to at least have a guess.
He is running away.
4-1-0. You can still do it.
You could. H-Man called it Monday, innit? Come on, we've got to get going here.
You've both been on the beer. I had a tea time tonight.
Busy day yesterday.
Question number six. Who was the Liverpool manager before Kenny Dalglish?
Benitez. Roy Hodgson.
Roy Hodgson is the correct answer.
Wow. This is a mauling.
5-1-0.
This is
zero.
An absolute mauling.
It can't be. Well, you could still get a draw.
You could still get a draw. Question number seven. Which Scottish club did James Maddison go on loan to in the 2016-17 season? No.
Hibernian.
Hibernian. Hibernian. Hibernian. He got me with... He went... Which Scottish?
Which
season?
Scottish.
Which season?
16-17.
Rangers.
No.
Motherwell.
No.
I don't know. Are we allowed to keep going?
No.
Are we allowed to keep going?
Yeah.
I think we can keep going.
Yeah.
Dundee
Aberdeen.
United.
Aberdeen's correct answer.
Wait. I'm taking that.
You're not getting that.
No, I don't.
He's not having that, Jay.
I think we could just keep it going.
Oh, we could have kept reeling
them off.
Quiz
master.
Oh, come on, Jay.
Pardon?
Giving you the point.
Oh, my God.
5-0. 5-0.
Oh, my God. I might as well just speak quiet then.
5-0. All the points you could have had. Just keeping going.
Oh. Aberdeen.
I could have said Ross County 24 times and never got it.
Aberdeen.
Come on.
Skip it, dude.
Question number eight. Rafael van der Vaart retired from football in 2018, but what other sport did he take up professionally?
Darts.
Correct.
What's the point? It's not even enjoyable.
He thought he was going to come back, did he?
It's not even,
you know, when you're five new down and you get one and you think, we could come back.
How many questions is left?
There's two more.
And what's the score?
6-1-0. 6-2 now.
You won.
I'm on two.
No chance.
Has Lotto ever won one?
What? Yeah. And even got a question. It's embarrassing.
I did win one.
So you made his professional darts debut in the BDO Denmark Open.
Fair dues, mate. To be a pro at darts is some going.
I thought you were saying fair dues for me getting it right.
Yeah. Well done, Mark.
Well done.
Question number nine.
I said water polo.
Brentford are one of two clubs to be promoted to the Premier League and never get relegated. Who is the other club?
Mm. Luton.
No.
They're relegated already, mate.
Yeah, but they haven't been relegated, have they?
Ben's right.
That is actually right.
Yeah. Is it the right question? Answer.
Yeah, that is the correct answer.
Thank What's you, the guys. One that you had?
I had Brighton.
Yeah, you didn't even give us a chance to answer.
Yeah, but Luton have never been relegated.
Luton's the other answer, yeah.
Well, Forest aren't, have they?
Forest have been relegated, Forest have been relegated.
Would have been back since they've been promoted.
Forest have been relegated, they have.
They were in the Premier League when it started, though, weren't they? Yeah. So since they've been promoted, they haven't been relegated.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, it's true.
He's right. But you
That's a flawed question. But I'll take the
surely I'll get a point there. Please give it. Jamie, just give me a point. Hey, can you give me a point for my explanation?
Sure.
Well, he's getting one. I got Aberdeen.
I was quicker, though.
Give them both one.
Oh, do you mean mine's. We'll give the two different answers are.
Well, we're making up rules as we go.
Well, you know what? We can have another question if you want.
Yeah, keep 6-2-0.
Go on then.
6-2-0. So, you know what? Scrap that question.
So, he's the only one that stands to win from this.
Okay, you know what?
I've already won.
Just give us all the points, Jay.
Six. Give him 3 points. I still won.
Jay, you need to take control of this situation.
What are we on? Question
it's
nine.
Question nine.
6-2-0.
6-2-1-0.
6-2-0. Okay, come on. Gosh.
Who was a manager of Blackburn when they won the league
Kenny
in 2002?
Oh, no.
I think it was. I don't know. 2002.
When they won the Premier League?
No, League Cup.
Was it John Gregory?
No.
I don't know if you're going to manage Blackburn, actually, now, I think that.
This is really...
Trying to be clever. I
Blackburn manager in 2002. Yeah. Mark Hughes.
Parks, no. Innit?
Doing a clue? He's a pundit right now.
Tim Sherwood, innit?
No.
Souness?
Yeah. Graham Souness.
No point.
Why?
Because he gave you a bloody clue.
I should remember.
I mean, you can't win anyway.
Just give us a couple more questions, come on.
Well, I've got two more questions.
Yeah, you might as well fire them out, see if I can actually get one.
6-4-0.
6-3-2-0. One, for God's sake.
We want seven.
Question 11. Yeah. Who is the captain of the Brazil national team?
It's Thiago Silva.
No.
Yeah, I was saying, don't say Thiago Silva, because it's not that.
Alisson.
No,
is it Casemiro now?
Casemiro is the new Brazil captain.
Pathetic game.
I just remember that clip where Thiago Silva was doing the chat and he rubbed his hair.
You know what? One more.
Come on!
For good measure.
Yeah.
It's like double or quits, isn't it?
What have you... what, have you got one yet?
Well, no, it's... Well, not
what's double zero?
Double zero.
We should have a 5-second handicap and let Watto answer.
Go on.
Let me have first dibs at it.
You've got to close your ears like that.
Go on.
What is the name of Middlesbrough Stadium?
Riverside.
I thought you can't answer.
Oh, he just can't help himself.
Five second handicap.
Watto would have said Ayrton Park.
I would have said Ayrton Park and would have been finished with it. I'd have said Stadium Alight.
Who was that sponsors when Juninho signed?
Oh, it was that. Was it had a C on it, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, what was it called?
Starts with C.
Yeah. I can't remember. Psycho.
Nope.
Cisco.
Nope.
No.
Did you say Psycho?
Psycho, he said, yeah.
S-E-I-C-O.
Anybody?
No.
Dust.
Salnet.
Salnet.
And then became BT Salnet. No, it was Salnet at the time, and then they became BT Salnet, yeah.
Wow.
Disastrous quiz, though, lads.
It was a disastrous quiz.
Not for me.
A zero. You were very good this week. I'm proud of you, Mark.
Well done, Mark.
They're forfeit for a zero.
And there should be. I think we need to start coming up.
If he got two, I got one.
5-second
dance. Yeah. And a 5-second answer. Cool.
How bad is it? And he was fuming because I said it because I didn't give him the 5 seconds. Anyway, everybody, thank you. Everybody, as always, for watching. We really do appreciate it. We will see you soon. We're going to go to the pub. It's Bank Holiday Monday. Why not? All the best, guys.